Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, Recovery Radio Fresno. We are bringing the message of hope to the listeners. This afternoon, we're talking with Anna Babakova from AB Lifetime. My name is Paul Away. I'm hosting. So, good afternoon, Anna. How are you doing?
Hello, Paul, and hello, everybody. I'm glad to be here again on Recovery Radio Fresno. Thank you very much for this opportunity, which you provide every time for me so I can talk to people and give some ideas about recovery.
Absolutely. It's always a pleasure talking to you. You have some wonderful insights for all the folks in recovery and just, you know, people in general. So tell us a little bit about how people can find you and your company.
Our company name is AB Lifetime. We are located in Fresno, California. Our address is 690 East Bullard Avenue, Fresno, California. And our website is ablifetime.com, and our phone number is 559-261-9900. What we are doing is we are doing outpatient counseling and aftercare. And I'm alcohol and drug counselor.
Okay, awesome. So today we're talking about exercising and its impact to recovery, and you're going to give us some ideas on different types of exercising and what it does for us, and then we're going to take some questions and things like that. So without further ado, if you want to start in, it'd be awesome.
Yes, Paul, thank you. First of all, I would like to remind all our listeners which came today first time, and this is their first Recovery Radio Fresno show which they listen. So this is our third show in the series of the shows about recovery through health and wellness. So we did first two, and you can find them on the Recovery Radio Fresno website. So it is recorded and it is there. So you can, you know, kind of find out what was in previous shows. So we talked in first one about the importance of our breathing and how we can manage our stress through our breathing. Also, we talked about our sleeping pattern, and of course we were talking about all this stuff through the perspective of recovery. Second conversation was about our eating pattern. So how we can, kind of build our own diet in recovery, how we can use our knowledges about diets in our recovery. So today is our third session. It's a third show, and we are going to talk about, yes, exercising, the importance of exercising in recovery. First of all, what I would like to tell that all exercising we can divide into two big groups. It is aerobic exercising and anaerobic exercising. One thing which I would like, before I start to talk about exercising, what I would like to emphasize for you, that guys, this is not a treatment plan. I'm giving only general ideas. Of course, you should, about like talking about your recovery, you should talk with your therapist, with your counselor, with your doctor, and discuss if you have any good ideas, if you got something from our shows. please discuss this with your counselor. But it is not a treatment plan. And, of course, we cannot, you know, heal the addiction through exercising. It is big, big of complex of different things, of which, and the most important is the changing of mindset. So exercising is just little part of their recovery, okay? So, about aerobic and anaerobic exercising. First of all, I would like to talk about aerobic exercising. I would like first to give some description what's aerobic exercising. So it is type of exercise which requires energy and it is from low to moderate level of exertion, and you can do your aerobic exercising through the long period of time. Like I'm talking about 30 minutes to hour, even to 1 hour and a half. So the benefits of aerobic exercise, improves overall health and quality of life, but it also can extend your life. Aerobic exercise burns fat. So please remember, people who have this problem like overweight and tend to gain weight and fat, please remember, aerobic exercises, if we are using them in right way, it is great tool to burn fat. The most important to understand how to do this. Also, aerobic exercises are great in managing stress. Why? Because we using certain type of breathing through our aerobic exercises. Okay, aerobic exercises, it improves mood, of course, yes, and strengthens the heart and lungs and reduces the risk of diabetes. And, of course, in aerobic exercises, what is very important is the presence of oxygen. So we need to be sure that we are breathing right, we are doing good inhalation, good exhalation, and in the, like, for example, if your task is to burn fat, you need to have big amount of oxygen. Okay.
So
does it make sense?
Anna. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 1 second. So when you say breathing right, are we going back to the breathing exercise or the breathing knowledge that we gained in the first episode where, you know, we're breathing, you know, deeply, you know, primarily through our nose and exhaling through our nose. Is the same kind of breathing that we would do with this type of exercise?
Usually we are talking here not about yoga breathing, but just right breathing for aerobic exercising. It is not hard. It is just we need to be sure that we are inhaling always through nose, and we can exhale both ways. We can exhale through nose or mouth. It doesn't matter. In aerobic exercises, we can, like, exhale both. But the most important, we need to have, like, very deep and slow breathing and with no interruptions, like really like good inhalation. So we need to realize that we are doing good inhalation and good exhalation. This is the most important things.
Okay. So, you know, kind of teaching yourself to focus on your breathing when you're doing this sort of exercise seems kind of, you know, like, yeah, of course, but, you know, having exercised my whole life, you know, I know that's something that, you know, you need to condition yourself to do, and you get the real benefit, you get the maximum benefit, I should say, from the exercise by your breathing, correct?
Yes, yes, mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I know that seems like a really basic point, but, if you're breathing shallow or too rapidly, or, you know, you're just not, you're forgetting to breathe, you know, and really focus on it, you're not gaining the full benefit. That's the only point I was making. Okay, go ahead.
That's a good point. I think now it is time to give some examples of aerobic exercises so people can understand what we're talking about. So the very simple examples is the best example of aerobic exercising is walking, just walking. Jogging, swimming, it's all aerobic examples. So, for example, when we're talking about, for example, walking and breathing, it's kind of easy through the walking to normalize, to make stable your breathing. So when you are walking, just be sure that you inhale and exhale right and enough.
Okay, so, walking is good enough exercise. You know, I mean, I know people either don't exercise in this country or they exercise like crazy, and I think a lot of people feel like walking isn't a legitimate exercise. What do you got to say about that?
Okay, that's a great question. You asked, walking is enough or not, right?
Yes.
Enough of it. Okay, this is a great question. Why? Because it depends on what is your goal. It depends. First of all, you need to ask yourself the question, what I'm walking for? Understand? So, for example, if you are walking to relieve your stress, it's one task. If you are walking to relieve your stress plus burn fat, it is other task. And when you ask these questions, then you can, by answering these questions, you can build your own walking schedule. Understand? For example, if we're talking only about relieving stress, then we can walk in different parts of day when we are in stress. For example, right now, I need to relieve my stress. What I should do? I just need to go for a walk, right? And to make my breathing right, if I will start to breathe right and make walk right now and I am in stress, then it will relieve my stress. But if I wanted to burn fat, it is other task. And then I need to start to think about when I should, first of all, I need to think about when I should walk, what time of day, in what schedule, how much time, how much activity I should put in my walk, right? Because we can walk with different level of activity, right? Plus, I need to understand when and what I should eat when I'm doing walks. Not during the walk, but when I can let myself eat before the walk and after the walk. And when I should eat and what I should eat during the day. Understand? So, I think probably if we will have at the end of our show time, I can explain a little bit more about walks, how we should schedule our walks to burn fat, because I know in recovery it is big question. Many people are interested because many people during their mostly early recovery gaining huge amount of weight. So this is a very good big question. I'm just thinking about, let's talk about this a little bit later if we'll have time. Okay.
Okay. If we're going to focus on walking here a little bit, so say you were going to try to use walking as a means for fitness, you know, like you were getting yourself in shape. How far should you walk? You know, how long should you walk?
It is, again, it is kind of general question, and if you, let's talk like this. If you are talking about that you are in good shape already and you just wanted to make your shape constant, just be in the same shape, we are talking about 10,000 steps per day. 10,000, yeah, and it is surprising, and I know for American people, it is very, but guys, it is the most important thing. I would tell very boring thing, but it is exercising. In America, it is lack of movements as general thing. So, yes, 5 miles per day and or 10,000 steps per day. If we are talking, again, if we are talking about losing weight, it is very important to combine two things, but it's more. But it is very important thing of combination, what you are eating and when you are walking and with what speed you are walking and what you eat before and after you walk.
Okay.
And again, so again, aerobic exercising, it is kind of more exercising for losing weight initially. For example, if you need to, it is great thing for people who are a little bit or much overweight. It is great way to start to lose weight.
Awesome. So, what other kind of exercises? Are we looking at here?
Okay, so as I told initially, so we have two big groups. So first group is aerobic exercises. Second thing is anaerobic exercises. Again, guys, I would like to emphasize for you that in recovery, it is big, a very important thing to make exercises. So you cannot be happy without exercising, without movements. That's how our body is. Our bodies will not produce any hormones to be happy. And even you are going to therapy, even you are going to groups, even you are talking good time and you are changing your mindset, everything, if you are not exercising, yes, it is a huge amount of possibility that depression, anxiety, just like lower level of moods will be presented if you are not exercising. So exercising. That's how we are going through depression. That's how we help our bodies to go through this. Okay, so second part is anaerobic exercising. So oxygen is not present in anaerobic exercise. The from moderate to bigger level of exertion is presented in this type of exercising. So this type of exercising is when you are making your train shorter and with a big physical activity. For example, good example is weightlifting. Good example with running, with different type of running types, I would say that marathon is aerobic exercising. And short, like when you are running for a short period of time with a huge physical activity for like with bigger speed. So this is anaerobic exercising. So what does anaerobic exercising does? It builds muscles. So all muscle mass we can build by anaerobic. So other thing that calories, any like like how we are burning energy, how we are burning calories. It is through muscles. So more muscle mass you have, more calories can be burned in your body. So it is important type of exercising. For example, if you, for people who are overweight big time, it is important from the beginning just to lose weight. So we are using only aerobic exercising, right? And then when you already lost some weight, then you can start to build your muscles start to use anaerobic exercises. I know that it could be the question why I cannot do anaerobic in the beginning with overweight, because it is very harmful for joints and body in general with overweight to make anaerobic exercises. Understand? So first step, we need to lose weight. Okay. So how to walk right? So it is very important to use aerobic exercising. So I would tell here general information about how we walk, how we create our walks to make right walks to. For example, to relieve stress, I will repeat again. So to relieve stress, we need to walk as soon as you feel your stress, or you cannot, right now, for example, you cannot walk, like make your walks regular in the evenings or make your walks regular in the morning. So again, to be in good shape emotionally and physically, in average, it is about 10,000 steps per day. It is about 5 miles. It's all your walks, like you are going at work to the restroom, you are walking to the, I don't know, gas station. So try to involve in your regular...
What would you use to figure that out? I mean, you use a pedometer or some device that tells you how many steps you take?
Yes, you know, it is good idea in the right now in this old smartphones we have this little programs which are counting our steps. So you can figure out just using this program, like for 1 week or 10 days, you can figure out in average how much you walk. So even we are walking like usually it is during the day we are walking to the car. At our work, we're going to restroom, we're going to, to our colleagues. We are doing several thousand steps, and usually you can add there, several miles in the evening to accomplish this goal for 10,000 steps.
Oh, that's great. So I got a question for you. What kind of... exercising do you promote or you do with your facility?
Oh, thank you, Paul. Thank you very much for this question. Because it is interesting because in our facility, I was talking about aerobic and anaerobic exercising, and in our facility, we do not use any of them in clear anaerobic or clear aerobic. We use yoga, and the name of our yoga, which we use in our facility, is Ashtanga Yoga. So I highly, highly recommend for people who are in recovery to use yoga. I do not require and tell people to use Ashtanga yoga, but try to look on the yoga, on different kinds of yoga, and try to do different kinds and find your, which you prefer, which you like, because there are different kinds of yoga. So why we are using Ashtanga yoga, first of all, because it is a full body workout every single time. So it is big amount of physical activity. So here we are building our muscle mass. So it is but also it is stretching muscles. So also we are using that type of breathing in Ashtanga yoga, which is calming down, which is relieving stress. It is great tool. So also it is cures, Ashtanga yoga cures back problems and joint problems. Also, practicing any kind of yoga, I do not tell you that it's only Ashtanga yoga, but practicing any kind of yoga, you can start age. It is a huge, massive tool in working with stress, with managing stress. And of course, in recovery, it is like everyday problem is stress, depression, and anxiety. So Ashtanga yoga is a great tool for using it in recovery. And again, guys, please do not think that I'm talking only about Ashtanga yoga. Ashtanga yoga is a great tool. We use it in our facility. But you can look if you are living in other cities, you do not have Ashtanga yoga. You can make research and look for other types of yoga. Just try different types, and you can find your own style, your own kind of yoga, which will be great. So yoga is great tool in using in recovery. If you would ask me about is it aerobic exercises or anaerobic exercise, I would say that it is combination of aerobic and anaerobic. Mostly I'm talking about Ashtanga yoga. It's combination. Okay.
Yeah, so yeah, the whole thing with it, whether, like you said, any kind of yoga, but the whole thing is that it is something that you could do anywhere. Okay, yeah, it's great to go to a studio and do it, but you could do it yourself. And correct me if I'm wrong on any of this stuff, but also it's something you can do forever because, you know, sort of you develop your own practice, your own level. Nobody else has your level, and if you keep working, you keep improving, you know, basically for the rest of your life. And it's something that you really can't. There's not too many other types of exercise that you can say that about. You know, I know people that run for late in their years, but, you know, a lot of people develop back problems and knee problems and hip problems and all these things, and they can't run anymore. So suddenly they're not able to do their favorite form of exercise or lifting weights, their shoulders go out or, you know, whatever. This is something that seems to be the most practical way to get yourself in shape. Plus, you get all the benefits of the stress relief and, you know, and all this stuff. Anyway, you agree with all that?
Paul, thank you very much for your warm words about Ashtanga yoga. I know that you are practicing yourself and you like this style of yoga, and I know you have your own experience practicing Ashtanga yoga. It's great, and I know that you like it very much. You see these benefits. Yes, mm-hmm. It is great too. We can start at any age. It is healing. It is not, for example, jogging. It's not. It cannot, for example, heal our back, right? Yoga is healing. If you have physical traumas, it is healing. So this is the benefit. Jogging is not healing. Sometimes it is damaging. Any kind of sports, very many times we know that it is damaging, mostly when you are doing it without trainer or without instructor. With yoga, we can always say that it is healing. Yes, so thank you. What I wanted to say that, guys, if you would like to see the reviews on Ashtanga yoga, welcome to my website. There is on the page Ashtanga yoga style in the bottom of the page. You can see reviews of people with different, you know, physical shape. People are writing their reviews, what it gave them, and people see the benefits. Like in 1 month, people see great benefits with their stress level, with their emotion, like emotional status, with and in their shape, physical shape. With some people are writing about their back problems, you know, you can just see these reviews. So welcome to the website and just look on the reviews.
Yeah, I second all that. You know, someone that with all sorts of physical problems, back problems, neck problems, shoulder problems, and it's amazing what it's done for me. It's, you know, it's really a healing. It's a wonderful thing. And, you know, as far as gaining strength and improving your body, I've done, you know, been in athletics and huge workouts and all this, and I've never done anything that improves your body quicker than Ashtanga. It's amazing. So we got 15 minutes left or so, and I've got some questions that I've been given, and just wanted to see if you want to answer some questions. And some of them are exercise, some are food-related questions. Do you feel up to answering some questions?
Yes, sure. I'm happy that we have questions and I can answer them, yeah.
Okay, awesome. First question is, how do you walk right? In other words, what's the correct way of walking? I'm not sure what the context is there, but what can you say about that?
Okay, it's a great question. I remember somewhere like maybe 10, 15 minutes before, I thought, let's talk about this later. Great, and now we have
okay.
this question. So, how to walk right? Okay, again, ask yourself what, first of all, give yourself the answer on the question, what for are you walking? Okay, right now I see like two important sides of walking. First of all, relieve stress and keep our mind in like good positive state, right? It is one side of walking. And other side of another side of walking goal is our shape, losing weight, keep our body in good shape. So again, for walking, just to keep ourselves calm, to have better mood, to relax, to have better sleep, you can walk at any time part of day. You can walk at any time. At any time, it doesn't matter. When did you eat? Before, did you eat not long ago? Just please don't walk fast after a huge meal. This is one recommendation. Otherwise,
uh-huh.
you can walk at any time. What is important question here, the speed of our walk. Please walk with that speed, which is fast. So you are kind of walking fast, but imagine that you are walking with a partner and you are talking with your partner. And the speed supposed to be that way that you are talking in good, like in good way, without interruption in your breaths. If you can do this is your speed. So fast, but not faster than you can talk. Understand?
Mm-hmm. Makes perfect sense.
Okay, it's clear. Okay. Okay, this is about stress relief and, like, your emotions, about your mood. This is the thing. Another thing, I'm sure people, mostly women, would ask me about how I can lose my weight with walks. Yes, it is the best way to lose weight. Mostly, guys, who has huge amount of overweight, walk is your tool. So, first of all, the best time of day to walk for you is mornings. Just when you woke up and you have empty stomach, do not eat anything. You can just drink water and go for a walk. Like your walk supposed to be, but the same speed, like when you can talk to your partner, but fast. And from 30 minutes to 1 hour, so more you are doing, more fat you are burning. So after that, you are coming home or you are going to your work, please do not eat 1 hour after. Because after your walk, your body continue to burn fat for 1 hour. So do not eat anything. After 1 hour, you can start to eat. Okay. Hmm. If you eat, if you do not have the possibility to walk in the mornings, if you are walking at daytime or in the evening, plus your walk half hour, because first half hour, your body will burn everything what it will use for energy, not your fat, but it will use that food which you have eaten per this day. Understand? That makes sense?
Yep.
So remember, so only an empty stomach, your stomach empty and your body start to use your fat to produce energy for your walk. Understand? And if you have eaten something before, your body first will use that. It's any food which you ate. So it will use first that to the end of the last calorie, you know, and then it will start to use fat, because fat is strategic for our body.
Right.
Understand?
Okay. Yep. We don't have a whole lot more time. I have a few more questions I want to get in here. Okay.
Okay.
Let's see. What's a good way to calm down fast?
Oh, great question. Guys, it is breathing. So it is very simple. Please do not, ignore these two. Breathing, how I told in our first show, paramedics, when you have a heart attack or something serious, they come, first of all, they will start to teach you how to breathe. So first, very calm, slow breathing, only through inhaling, only through nose. Exhalation can be through mouth or through nose again, but it's supposed to be long and calm. You know, inhalation long, exhalation is the same length as inhalation. So try to practice this type of breathing, and this is the simplest, the easiest tool which we can use to calm ourselves down and feel relaxed. The question I usually ask my people who are in my groups, they ask me, okay, if breathing doesn't help me, what should I do? And I'm in stress. My hands are shaking. I'm stressed, like everything. Only one answer. It means that you didn't breathe enough. Start to, for example, if you are stressed, hands are shaking, you are worrying, and you did like 10 breaths and it still didn't help you, do more 10 breaths. Do a few minutes, 2-3, maximum 5 minutes of such kind of breathing will calm you down.
Excellent.
I promise.
Excellent advice. That's awesome. Okay, got a couple more questions. Got 5 minutes left here, so...
Mm-hmm.
I crave sugar. What do I do?
Craving sugar. First of all, let's analyze. Do you sleep enough? First, it is questions for you to ask yourself when you are craving sugars. First, analyze, do you sleep enough? It's first. Because second thing, are you stressed? So these are first physical things which our body start to crave sugar when we are stressed, when we do not sleep enough. First thing, when we start to crave sugar. Then, third thing to analyze for you, how many fruits per day do you eat? Include in your diet 3 fruits per day. just remember that we do not like better way to not to eat. It was in our previous show I told about this more. So, but in short way to answer, it is include 3 fruits per day. Please remember not to eat any carbs after 6 o'clock in the evening. Third thing, when you crave sugar and you know that it is you do not want to eat it and you know that you are going to gain weight from this, first of all, try to drink a glass of water. Second thing, try to eat good protein or eat good carb.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Good advice.
You know what I see here? Very good question. I promise to answer this about constipation.
Okay.
I think I have 2 minutes, right?
Yeah, go ahead. That's fine.
Okay, constipation. Because I know in recovery, mostly people on methadone treatment, they have this question. So first of all, be sure that you drink enough water. So water is, be sure that you are drinking like 8 glass of water per day. Next thing which are very good are flax seeds. Include in your meals 2 tablespoons of flax seeds per day. You can put them in yogurts and salads and something what you are eating. And prunes. So these three things, so just including this in your diet, when you include this, probably your problem will be if this is the solution. If you do not, of course, it is important to discuss with your doctor. You understand, right?
Another thing would be, I'm sorry if you said this, but drinking enough water, is that right?
And of course I forgot one important thing, fiber. So be sure that you are eating fiber. So with this, for example, drinking water, eating prunes and flax seeds, but eating 3 hamburgers per day and nothing else will not decide your problem. We
okay.
need to eat vegetables and fruits. Okay?
Okay. Awesome. So got time for one more question, and then we'll wrap this up. What is a good combination of carbs, proteins, and fats for my diet?
Okay, I can give you just general numbers, which are the Food and Nutrition Board of Institute of Medicine suggests. But these are just general guidelines. Again, ask yourself, what do you want? To lose your weight or gain your weight, or what do you want? And then you can think about how to create your own diet. So numbers, carbohydrates, from 45% to 65% of total daily food intake. Fats, from 20% to 35% of total daily calories food intake. And protein, from 10% to 35% of total daily food intake.
Awesome.
Guys, and please remember about this is a good addition for this. And please remember, we cannot be hungry in recovery. Eat every 3 hours, and this will make things much more easier.
Okay, that's awesome, man. And let's wrap it up then. Talk a little bit. So tell us again about your company and your contact information, and really thank you for everything that you've said today. It's just been really good stuff. So go ahead.
Great. Thank you so much. Our website is ablifetime.com. Our phone number is 559-261-9900. One other thing which I would like to say, we are going to start to make a series of videos, and we will put it on YouTube. This information I will put on my website. So please do not hesitate and come to the website and ask questions in the Q&A page, and we will answer questions. And also, I hope that you will enjoy our videos.
Awesome, Anna. Thank you very much. This has been Recovery Radio Fresno. We're bringing the message of hope to the listeners. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Have a great day. Thank you. Bye-bye.